All right, Carson Anderson here on 97.1. We got open lines, 248-539-9797. Tons of reaction to the Dusty May announcement that he is leaving Michigan, headed to the Dallas Mavericks. We've had discussions on all different levels of this, and obviously people reacting. Some are emotional about it, and, you know, I mean, look, it's understandable. Sports are, fan is short for fanatic, and you know, it's one of the things that makes it great is the passion that people have for it. And sometimes those, you know, those passions lead to emotions, to say the least. And today is one of them. 248-539-9797. Now, some of it's directed at Dusty. Some of it's directed at Ward Manuel. And even others, it's directed towards the way college athletics is these days. In the meantime, let's get back to your phone calls. We go to Brian in Detroit. You're next. Hello, Brian.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, fellas, the reason, Doug, you asked a question about winning in court. The reason they can't win in court, Doug, because the rules will always start off, how can we stop the players from moving around and how can we slow the money down? You can't have a guy like Nick Saban go to Congress and complain about how things are run, and he's been a crook. He's been doing things under the table his whole career. All of a sudden, what things are being done now, he don't like. They were great when he was doing them and winning. Now that all the money is above board and they not winning, now he has a problem with it. You can't stop the players. Doug, I heard you say before, it's going to come down to the money that the players get or the transfer portal. That's the big problem in it. How you going to stop it? When the coaches can run and do whatever they want, they can be under contract and leave anytime they want to. But we want to tell the players to do it. I'm all for the players not transferring so much. They should only get one. But far as the money part, how are we going to stop the players from making money when the schools and the TVs trying to make all the money they can by adding all these extra teams to a tournament, all that type of stuff? How are we going to stop that, the players, and we're not stopping other people?
Did you hear when we had the director of the NCAA basketball on from Oakland Hills a couple weeks ago, and we asked him about the expansion of the tournament, and he did admit, yeah, the money matters, and this is going to lead to more money, and it's – He was honest about it, but it's about a sustainable business model. Like if there are, because these are, but many of these are public institutions and take public money, there are Title IX requirements that have to allow for a lot of scholarships for non-revenue sports to exist, to create equal opportunities. And that's where you get into a sustainable business model that you do have to legally pay for a whole bunch of non-revenue sports. And it's gender to gender,
fellas, if they really wanted to put a stop to this, couldn't they get together, all the people in charge, come together and come up with a plan to do it? They're not too concerned. Only thing they're concerned about, and you let me know if I'm wrong, fellas, how much money can we get from the TV contracts? How much money can we make? That's what the schools, the coaches, the athletic directors and TV stations are concerned about. We want to make money, money, money. Let's hold the players back. That ain't going to work. That's why they go lose in court. Well, the players should be able to make as much money as they want.
Until they start not being able to afford all the non-revenue scholarships and are in violation of federal law.
Look, when you've got three of the four major sports to have a salary cap, and one of them happens to be a football league,
yeah,
I'm guessing that there is going to be a limit on what players can make, and I kind of think there should be. I'm not saying don't let them make money. And we've already gone past that. Yeah, they're getting paid, and they should get paid. This is the world we're living in now. However, should there be a salary cap in place for college football teams? I imagine that's exactly what they want to do, to try to control it a little bit. And you know, how do you make that equitable with what coaches are doing? I don't know if you can. I think are there ways that you can limit coaches from taking another job so quickly?
Well, I mean, that could be, you know, the contracts are binding, that you can't break them. There are no buyouts. But again, that's, I don't know that holds up in a court of law, you know?
Well, it does for, in the professional leagues, right? You don't see, like, Dan Campbell's not leaving halfway through his contract to take over the Dolphins.
Yeah, there are rules against lateral moves. You can't interview for somebody else's job. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know how you make, because I keep going back to, if Brendan Sorsby was deemed by a judge to be eligible to play, to play, how do we make any rules that can hold up in a court?
Now, the big difference here is that you got a college coach going to the professional ranks. That's the difference.
Well, he's basically leaving the umbrella that the NCAA oversees.
So I think you can limit movement from college to college by having a binding contract. I think that you can do.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Matt, who's next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon. How's it going?
What's up?
All right, champ Dusty May, congrats to him, mostly because I don't really care about U of M. I hate him. Go green. A chump, I'm going to change my chump because I got a phone call from my friend during the commercial. So he's flying back to Scotland, and he had two jugs of ranch dressing in his suitcase, and TSA seized it. So my chump is the TSA. Was let it, the man have his ranch. Let him have his ranch dressing.
Well, you got to ship it over.
Was it, in his, was it in his checked bag or in his carry-on?
Oh, it was his check, his check bag when they go through the.
You can put stuff in your check bag, can't you?
Not if it's over a certain number of ounces.
Yeah, I think it was like a 48 ounce jug of.
And I guess ranch I never tried to take. Actually, I put stuff that's pretty big in my check bag before.
Like what?
Shampoo.
Yeah, some stuff I think here's because I'll. Shampoo, you are.
Don't
funny.
Don't forget the conditioner, Doug.
Yeah. You are funny. I know I've been busted at the airport trying to, like, when I go to Vegas to try to bring some sunscreen with me.
Yeah, it was tequila that I got across in a bag, and there was the one time I bought you tequila and had it in my carry on, and I was like, "Oh, you dummy!" And I knew better then. I did it anyway. But
thanks.
Thanks for the gift I didn't give you.
Well, you gave me a bottle of tequila 1 year.
I did, but that was after I learned, and this is from my trips to Mexico. Yeah, put it in your checked bag, moron, not your carry-on, which I knew. I had a mental Kansas.
Check bag, they're going to limit the number of ounces.
Champ Wyndham Clark, not a big fan of his, but you got to give up, tip your cap to his performance through 4 days. Chump, butthurt Michigan fans bashing Dusty for leaving. Sometimes people have different aspirations and don't see the world through maize and blue lenses. Well, I don't want to chump fans for being fans and being authentic to their own feelings. I think it's important to point out why they might not be the most rational thoughts in the world, but I don't want fans to lose their fanaticism. Then our stadiums won't be packed. People won't be yelling and screaming. The parade down Woodward won't be as good. And you and I might be out of jobs. Champ is USA Soccer. Chump is Dusty May. What a smack in the face. That's from Brian in Fowlerville.
Do you think that Michigan was completely caught off guard? Off guard in this?
I don't know. And this is warrants further conversations with people on both sides to try and find out. My suspicions is they are surprised, but not totally shocked. But I think they probably, when he didn't sign the contract right away when they'd quote agreed to terms, I want to know how much back, and this is, I think, important to know. Was Ward hounding him? Dude, we got this contract. Sign this contract. Because I feel like you'd be compelled as an athletic director to say, hey, look, okay, if I'm the AD, we've agreed to this contract. You've agreed to it. I've agreed to it. By you not signing this, it's making me wonder, do I need to start looking for a new head coach? Which is fine if you don't want to sign it. We can go back and revisit and make the contract. We can change the contract if you want. But I want to know if I should be looking for a new head coach to look out for the best interest of my program. And if you don't like this contract, what'll make you like it? You need an extra mil? You need more money for your staff? Like, what are we doing here? We agreed to terms. You haven't signed it. It's 2 weeks. It's 3 weeks. It's 4 weeks. That's what I want to know. What was going on during the time between they agreed to terms and today?
I wonder if his agent, because his agent knows him pretty well, I'm assuming. Like, hey, maybe he has NBA aspirations, right? And his agent's telling him, hey, just let you know, the Mavericks are looking at John Shire. I don't know if John's going to take the job or not, but they're, you know what I mean? They're starting to tip their toe into the college ranks here, and I could see you being a guy they call. And Dusty's like, well, I'd be interested in it. I mean, in 2018, he was coaching Florida Atlantic. Mm-hmm. 8 years later, he's going to be the coach of the Mavericks. If you told him that 8 years ago, he'd be like, hell yeah. You know, like, he's not old by any means, but he's not super young either. 49 years old. It's like, maybe now's the time to strike. Well, if I have NBA aspirations, I get to coach Cooper Flagg, I'm going to do it. And so maybe that's why, Doug, the delay for the contract signing. You know, I'm just trying to figure out why sure. wouldn't you have signed the extension?
There's
yet,
a lot of possibilities, you know? Yeah. And can you put ranch in a checked bag?
I think there's a limit.
I don't know that there is.
There has to be. It's like, it's liquid, right?
Yeah,
it's
considered liquid. Unless you buy it at the airport after you've checked in.
Yeah.
Like a duty free?
No, not duty free. Like it going to the
if they're selling just, ranch, do they sell ranch? If they were smart, they'd be selling ranch in Boston's airport.
I'll tell you the other thing. And Kang, I think you back me on this. I ain't buying store-bought ranch. No. If you want to have the ranch experience you had at a restaurant, you're not getting it in a jar.
Well, that's why, so what you can do is you can buy it after you go through the check-in, right? The TSA, right? Gatorade, so you go, if they have a Jets pizza in the food court.
if they did.
You know what I mean? Can I buy one of your drums of ranch?
Yes, exactly. Then you can buy it.
Those big, huge things with the pump top?
Yeah. Yes.
Then it's Jets, and it's great, and that's great ranch. But, I mean, if I'm just picking up a bottle of Hidden Valley off the shelf at the Kroger, I think you're gonna be disappointed.
Gator. These foreigners don't know the difference at this point. They think all ranch, they're like ranch. They don't even know the difference between ranch right now. They just think all ranch is good.
They do love it.
They love it.
All right. Insider says something today about a trade that definitely involves Detroit. How much does it matter? We'll get to that today at 118 on Carson Anderson on 97.1. All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1. Boy, we had a whole show, all kinds of different stuff planned to talk about. And then, bam! Dusty May bolts for the Mavs. Kind of undermines what we had planned, but that's, breaking news on our show. And it sucks, for Michigan fans. There's another fan base that seems to be pretty pleased about what just went down. At the end of the day, it is, it's a blow to Michigan basketball. I talked to somebody, said Dusty May is saying it's a college game. He doesn't want to do... the college game's driving him away. There are stuff that college coaches have to deal with now they never did before. The thing is, he was so successful under these rules. Such an odd way to have this come to an end, but we await for more details, including how much money it is. Because there is a possibility that he just doesn't want to say. It's about the money.
I think it's definitely about money. I think that's a huge factor in it.
I don't think you'd leave for the same money.
No. And when you see the contract, whenever they announce it in Dallas, I think we're all going to be, sure. Mm-hmm. Look at that. It's a 5-year, $55 million deal. Sure, it makes sense.
248-539-9797. All right, so this morning, there's been a lot of reporting and rumors and everything floating around over the weekend that the Pistons were going to be involved in a trade. It was a 3-team trade, or sometimes it was rumored to be a 4-team trade, where the Pistons would be giving up something. There were different rumors. Ron Holland was part of it. The pick at 21 was part of it. Then there were rumors that both Ron Holland, the pick in 21, and Isaiah Stewart were included. And what Detroit was getting back was Tyler Hero. Now, because there were so many different rumors, I didn't really believe anything. We get rumors all the time. But this morning, Shams Charania went on ESPN and had this update on a Giannis trade to either Boston or Miami. And here, listen to what he says. Okay. That's the part that it pertains to us. Apparently, Detroit isn't necessary to make a 3-team deal. They don't need a third team. And I realized how disappointed I was. So we're not getting Tyler Hero? And, look, I thought the price tag of one of the rumored trades of Isaiah Stewart, Ron Holland, and a first and the pick at 21 for Tyler Herro was way too much. Way too much. But when it was just Ron Holland, I could accept it. I feel like the pick at 21 or Ron Holland needs to be used to facilitate a trade with New Orleans for Trey Murphy or Brooklyn for Michael Porter Jr. I don't want to give up both of those assets to get Tyler Herro. Now, maybe I don't get the choice. You don't always get the choice, but maybe it's all off the table at this point.
Well, it sounds like it is. And while you're having, you know, you're swimming in the pool of regret here.
Yeah. I realized it when you told me the trade's off, when Sham said that this morning, I'm like, oh, damn.
I'm kind of in the pool of relief.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not a big Tyler Herro fan as much as you are. I don't mind him. I think he's obviously a great shooter. But it is remarkable when you look at his career where he has spent 6 playoff seasons with Miami out of his 7 years in the league. The only year he didn't make the playoffs was this past year. In those 6 seasons, the drop-off for his production from the regular season to the postseason is dramatic. So it's not like a 1-year or a 2-year thing that you can look at like with Jalen Duren, or if you wanted to look at that with anybody else, with Tobias Harris, where he had one or two bad postseasons, and then, you know, everything else is where he was. This is dramatic. I mean, this is a guy who's averaging over 20 points a game in the regular season, and in the postseason, it drops down to 14.5 points. That's pretty big. His shooting percentage from 3-point drops from like 37-38% down to 32-33% in the postseason. So I'm not as warm to the idea of adding him to the team as you are. He might be an overall better player than, say, Duncan Robinson, maybe more reliable with his defensive abilities and all that. But I'm just, that's not the one that I wanted to chase. When you hear Trey Murphy, I want to chase that. When you hear Michael Porter Jr., we talked about that going to the trade deadline. Yeah, I'd like to chase that. When I listened to you on Friday, when I was out and heard the Austin Reaves stuff, I was like, whoa, is that really a possibility? Austin Reaves? But I'm not sure if you can get an Austin Reaves done, a deal done, without saying goodbye to Jalen Duren, because it, you have money matched. I mean, it's just Jalen Duren's going to cost you a bunch of money, and Austin Reaves is going to cost you, what, $40 million a year at least?
So two comments. One is, I understand your concerns about Tyler Herro. I want him anyway, because I don't know that that's a perfect indicator of future success. Two is, I think the guy is a little bit better version of Duncan Robinson in almost everything he does, and a significantly better ball handler and creator. With that said, I understand your trepidation. If he were perfect, he probably wouldn't be on the market. But he's not perfect necessarily. It's not a perfect resume. But at the end of the day, I think they'd be better off with him in that primary shooting role. Secondly is, I'm in favor of acquiring, because when this first started, it wasn't Holland and the pick at 21. I feel like in a New Orleans trade or a Brooklyn trade, you have to include multiple draft picks, including probably this one, this year at 21. And those would be centerpieces I'd like to see go. So I didn't want to give up both assets, because I'd like to get Herro and Trey Murphy, or Herro and Michael Porter Jr., or Herro and Austin Reaves. And I was surprised to see the Pistons involved with Austin Reaves, but I think they're pretty well committed to keeping Duren. That seems pretty clear to me.
Yeah. Well, and then it's real clear, because that's what the general manager said.
Yep. And then why would they out be going after Austin Reaves if they didn't think they could fit them both under the cap?
Yeah, I have a hard time believing the Austin Reaves stuff is true.
I understand why.
And the other thing is, I mean, if you're the Lakers, you're hanging on to Austin Reaves.
Yeah, and so, there, I mean, he might, because he has is a restricted free agent, there is a possibility that some team will just offer him an offer sheet that he can't turn down. But in the case of, that doesn't mean they can't go after Michael Porter Jr. or Trey Murphy. Because I like the idea of Cade, Herro, Trey Murphy, Asar Thompson, Jalen Duren.
Yeah, having
and
both
then you
of them
wouldn't
makes,
have Tobias.
Yeah, having both of them makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Having Herro and one of those other two players, absolutely. No, then I'd feel fine about having Herro, and then, okay, we'll see what happens in the postseason when we get to it. He wouldn't be counted on to be your primary scorer. He's going to be your specialist. because you've got another guy who's a specialist in Trey Murphy or Michael Porter Jr.
248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback, Carson Anderson. Hey, the latest on Dylan Larkin. What's going on in the NHL? We'll get to that straight ahead. You're on 97.1. All right, Gator had a commitment he had to take care of. So, Doug Karsh, closing out the show here, leading up to the 2 o'clock. Guys, 248-539-9797. Let's go to Al in Southfield. You're next. Hello, Al.
Hi, Doug. I want to, in light of Dallas, Dusty May being the new head coach for the Dallas Mavericks, I had a couple of suggestions for his replacement. Number one is Travis Steele, who's at currently at the University of Miami of Ohio. Of course, his team went undefeated during the regular season. Of course, lost their the one game during the conference tournament. And my other suggestion was Wes Miller, who was the head coach at University of Cincinnati. The reason why I suggest him, because of his familiarity with Mustafa Chiamba, just transferred from Cincinnati to Michigan. And, of course, Cincinnati pulled off a big upset against Kansas on the road, which at Fog Hallam Fieldhouse, which is not an easy place for visiting teams to win.
So I'm just getting started with this, right, in terms of interesting names, certainly, to take a look at. Mike McConnell at St. Mary's is one that I think is intriguing. I think the Josh Schertz at St. Louis makes a ton of sense. And look, you know, there's a lot of criticism, obviously, of Ward Manuel, the athletic director. Ward Manuel did indeed hire Dusty May, and Ward Manuel,
yes,
you know, Schertz and Dusty May were very close, had a lot of similarities. All that was documented when Michigan played St. Louis this year in March Madness. And so, you know, if Ward interviewed one Dusty May, there'd be another guy that has a lot of similarities to him that he might, you know, those might things shine through in an interview process. But yeah, like I said, I can't really comment with any great knowledge on Steele, other than I was surprised when he got the Miami job because he hadn't exactly crushed it at Xavier. But but he did, you know, he's done a decent job. It's not just one year. It was the previous year. I have to go back and look. So, okay, here it is. At Xavier, he went 19-16, 19-13, 13-8, 19-13. Then he gets the Miami job, goes 12-20, 15-17, and then the last 2 years, 25-9, 32-2. So you can see the rise there. My guess is, I mean, everybody is reporting that Mike Boynton is going to get the interim position right now, which will give them time to, you know, take their time and make the best possible decision. So we'll see how it plays itself out. Jeff Goodman has now tweeted out something else rather interesting here, because, you know, first thing I did was make a call, and I was told Dusty cited the new system of college basketball but basketball and college athletics. Here's Jeff Goodman. One source very close to Dusty May on the main reasons he left Michigan for the NBA: the state of college basketball, not knowing what it's going to look like in a month or 5 years. And the second reason was the organization had a chance to coach Cooper Flagg. I'm going to probably throw in that the money is, I'm going to guess, rather significant in terms of the difference and what the NBA can pay and what the college game can pay. And I, you know, this is the second time it's happened to Michigan. They've had a great coach in place and lost him to the league. And, you know, there are people, believe it or not, there are some budget restrictions. Now, not as many with the revenue sports, but in an era where non-revs are just hanging on, it applies more to them than it does to college basketball. So maybe it's a moot point. Although I think even at Michigan, they'd be like, okay, we can't afford that. And in the NBA, you know, they're going to be deeper pockets. But, you know, we'll see as the reporting comes out. For people just joining us, I think it's important to hear why that contract that was agreed upon and spoken about publicly, why wasn't it signed? When was it supposed to be signed? Why was there... was there communication during the period where it wasn't signing the contract? Because if I were running a department, I would be like, okay, I need to know, do I need to start looking for another coach? Do I need to change the contract to keep you? Is there anything that could have been done differently to keep Dusty May at Michigan? And if there was, that's pretty bad. If there wasn't, like if he just wanted to go to the pros, which everybody has different dreams and aspirations professionally. And look, when you're a fan of a program, the most important job in the world to you is that you're head coach. That's the coaching position you care about the most. And so it's hard to imagine somebody leaving for an opportunity that they think is better for them, but that's the reality. And they have a different agenda. When you work in the game, it's different than when you're a fan of the game. And we'll see what Michigan does next. But it's a blow. They just won a national championship, which is one of the reasons why I find some of the anger fans have. The timing's not great, no. But you'd take that trade 10 times out of 10 to have a season culminate in winning a national championship and then lose the coach who put together the roster and orchestrated the run, lose it with bad timing. Yeah, the timing sucks, but you would take that 10 times out of 10 because you get to cut down nets, and that's what you want more than anything else. So anyway, we'll see as reporting comes out on this what some of the details are. In the meantime, Rico Beard has sauntered into the studio.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I would say I had a conversation, but it really wasn't much of a conversation. It was more of a one-way conversation where the person on the other line was yelling into the phone, and I was just kind of going, uh-huh, but, uh-huh.
About Dusty?
But, uh-huh.
This is today?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Rieger is livid.
Yeah.
So for an hour after it happened, it's just Rieger is just yelling. And
you had an hour-long phone call with Jeff Rieger?
Yes. Wow. He had a lot to say. I'm like trying to get in there, but Jeff, and I'm like, Jeff, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm like, Jeff, you can't be this angry. He bought you a title, so it's that. If I told you 2 years ago, your coach will come in, he'll win you a Big Ten, he'll win a national title, he'll leave after 2 years, you would take that deal.
If the next guy does the same thing, you'll take it.
You'll take the deal. He's like, he left the program in tatters. I'm like,
well, maybe.
Here's the thing. In modern day college athletic, Doug, there are no programs. There are teams.
Well,
programs don't exist anymore.
As one of our people on Twitch put it, everything's for rent now.
Yes.
Nothing's for sale. Nothing is bought. Everything is rented.
Yeah. That point guard that keeps busting you, you know what? Go offer him.
Well,
he'll be there next
their
year.
Name's in the portal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I assume this is going to be something you guys talk about?
Yes, we'll touch upon this. Can we say that? And we'll take you all the way up to Tiger Basement.
So during the show, I'm sitting in studio, and it's kind of isolated, and there's, you know, soundproof. And I still heard yelling out there on an Argentina goal. Was it you this time?
It was not me. It was Bobby.
Why was Bobby?
Yeah, he witnessed history.
Oh, is that what it was?
He said, I don't know.
Yeah, he set the most goals in World Cup history.
Bobby loved it.
Oh yeah. That's a huge sports moment. So I loved it.
No money on the game.
I made a Rico bet.
Really?
I bet on a tie.
Ah, see.
Yeah.
Did it win?
It did.
See?
Saturday night, 0-0.
So yeah.
It was the weirdest rooting experience of my life.
Doug, no. The worst one is when it's tie. Now it's 1-0. Now you flip to rooting to the other team.
Yep.
And now you're just like, okay, everybody, let's just play soccer and kick the ball in the middle of the field.
If you get it to a tie, yeah.
Nobody scores. So
yep. Just punt it back and
now
forth.
Now I'm team Cape Verde.
Dude. It's funny.
I was a fan before everybody else was. I don't want to hear that. I'm driving the bus here.
Yeah, that was you were an early adapter to Cape Verde.
Oh, yeah, I'm good for you. The bus.
Yeah, that was another result that they were celebrating after another tie yesterday. So, all right, have a great show. Stay safe, everybody, and treat each other with respect. Carson Anderson, 97.1.